Does it scare you when a minister walks up to the pulpit with a Bible in a Unity church? Well, Bruce is going for the tissues, so maybe. You know, one of the things that is a mission of my ministry is to dismantle, disarm, can't think of another word, to take apart the things that have troubled us about our religious past. Take the fangs out of things. Yeah, defang the Bible. Isn't that oxymoronic? But you know, if you grew up Catholic, you didn't get much Bible. And if you grew up not Catholic, you got too much Bible. And so this is a book that's it's complex and it's interesting. And it contains a lot about different cultures of the world. Do you ever think of it that way? It's the story of the human journey interpreted by various individuals. That's what it is. So I'm going to read to you in a few minutes, and if I had a fireplace and a chair, I'd sit down and read it to you that way. So we'll just pretend. But first, I want to say that as I came through the kitchen today, I had the most wonderful deja vu, because David Conway was running the show, and people were responding to it. And I walked in here a year ago this Sunday, and I'd been with you through the fall, you know, but it was a year ago this Sunday, and I remember because it was that very same scene in the kitchen. And I came up here. And do you remember this? I told you this, that when I got ready to leave, I told Bill, okay, I'm off to go do the thing that I love. Where did that come from? Because I told you all I wasn't going to apply for your minister position. And then I stood up here before you that Sunday and got a little emotional because I realized I'd fallen in love with you. And it was the next day I called headquarters and said, okay, I want to get reinstated so I can apply for this job. And I'm still in love with you. And thank you. Maybe even more so. And you know, church is where you get to experience people being people. Just saying. And that's how we learn how to really love each other, isn't it? When we get to be our real selves in front of other real selves, and then we get to discover the capacity for love that is beyond what we thought we could do. We go deeper and deeper and deeper into loving. We discover that we are love. And it shows up in a lot of different ways in this community. And every one of them is precious. Every single one of you are precious. I'm glad to be here. So this story today is about Mary. And I love Mary. I love Mary. To me, Mary is the embodiment of innocent acceptance and wisdom. Mary was wise beyond her years when this incredible thing happened to her. Now, this story requires that you suspend your disbelief. Yes, it does. But if I can just speak to you in a scholarly fashion, the story of Mary and this great miracle are only told in two of the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And in the and I probably told you this 1 year ago today. The book of Matthew was written for a Jewish audience. And so if you look at the lineage of Jesus, it takes him all the way back to Abraham. that's only in the book of Matthew. If you're also looking at a miracle birth, the Hebrew scriptures are full of miracle births. Isaac coming to Sarah when she was 90. Can't imagine. Can't. There's the story of Hannah, who gave birth to her son Samuel. So there are miracle births, and there's the lineage to Abraham. That's the perfect thing to appeal to a Jewish audience. The Gospel of Luke has this miraculous story. The lineage of Jesus goes all the way back to Adam, because the book of Luke was written for the Gentile audience, the everybody else but the Jews audience, the Greeks and the Romans. And so it takes Jesus all the way back, connected to the very first human being. And if you want to have stories about gods coming down and helping to produce, I'm trying to phrase this nicely, helping to produce extraordinary offspring with human women, recheck your Greek and Roman mythology. So we have, okay, so there's a little Bible history for you. Makes perfect sense that story would be told this way. However, the story goes beyond those practicalities. And I love this story because Mary was young, we think maybe 14, but not an unusual age for a young woman to get married in those times. So Gabriel comes to Mary. She was engaged to Joseph, who came from the house of David, the great king. And Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, favorite one, the Lord is with you." And I like the subtlety here. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I think I would too if an angel just showed up and said, "Hey, you're favored by God." The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary then said to the angel, my favorite words in this story, "How can this be?" "Since I am a virgin." That would not be my first response. When something extraordinary happens in your life, for good or for bad, is that your first response? "Oh, how can this be?" That is never our first response. It's usually, "Oh, something that I can't say to you," or "Hello, all our folks online." But she said, "How can this be?" Can you see that she was already in a place that most of us are aspiring to become in our spiritual lives on a daily basis? The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." So let's just kind of break that down for a minute. Here's this young woman, a virgin, engaged to an older man. It's all been set up. And now she's being told that she's going to have a son that's a king, a son that's a miraculous person. So that's a lot for a young woman to take in. But if we look at the pieces of this story as part of us, and that's what we do all the time with Scripture, Let's look at the story as part of us. The angel's part of us. Mary is part of us. Mary lives in us. Doesn't matter what your gender is. Doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. Mary, that sweet, good, innocent, accepting being, lives in here. And sometimes we lose track of that, don't we? We get a little jaded. We get a little worldly. We get a little weary. We get doubtful. But there's still that innocent one that lives in here all the time. The one that sees the beauty of nature like for the first time. You know? Why do you think kitten and puppy videos are so popular? Because it appeals to that in us which longs to have the delight of a child, that longs to have that innocent wonder. And I think that's what Mary was experiencing. An angel came to her. Boom. So who's the angel? The angel is divine inspiration. The angel is the still small voice. The angel is the smack in the head. The more often, the smack in the head. But we're the angel, we're Mary. And so our answer might not immediately be, how can this be? But it might be, let's explore this and see what it offers. Let's just take a look. I have to tell you, friends, I had the opportunity to go to Ephesus a few years ago with Ellen, as a matter of fact. And in Ephesus, there's a house up on top of a mountain there that supposedly the disciple James took Mary to that house after the crucifixion of Jesus. Turkey was not that far away. And so you've seen it, haven't you, Lolita? There's a line that shows where they believe the original architecture is, where the stones are, and then it shows where they built it up to make it into a little a shrine. But let me tell you what's so special about being in Turkey, in Ephesus, at the home of Mary, is that you're standing at a shrine to Mary with as many Christians as you are Muslims. Because the Quran honors Mary as the mother of the prophet. How about that? So Mary is revered and respected among the Muslims. And so to stand shoulder to shoulder with people who are praying and honoring that symbol of faith, that symbol that as she matured became a symbol of the endurance of unbearable circumstances and still having hope, who became the symbol of hope and is still the symbol of hope for many millions of people. Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. That's an all-encompassing prayer. No wonder it's a mantra. And so Mary became not just the girl who had a baby, but she also became the Queen of Heaven. And you'll see depictions of Mary, and there are stars under her feet. So is there anything wrong with seeing Mary as a holy figure? I don't think so. We're not worshiping Mary herself. She wouldn't even want that, would she? But the symbol of who she is important to us. She reminds us that at some point we say, yes. How can this be? Tell me more. And then there's the next part of the story. Some of you know what's coming already. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, I don't know what that theme is, but has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Lesson number two. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She said, "Yes." And then the angel departed. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. Huh. We could go on pilgrimage. Where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And you know, that baby was John, who became John the Baptist. He wasn't called John the Baptist at the beginning. That was later on. He was just John. But that baby, that innocence, responded to that miracle. Now listen. Have you not had an Elizabeth in your life that said, "Wow, something amazing is going on with you and I see it"? Have you not had someone when you're going, "Gosh, I don't know what to think about this," and they go, "This is great. This is great what's happening with you. I am so happy. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. My creative energies are responding to what's happening with you." And if you don't have an Elizabeth, get yourself an Elizabeth. You know, because you can support each other. And for those of you who went through pregnancy, that's a good thing to have support. And so here are the words that Mary says, when she knows that all of this is coming to pass. This is called the Magnificat. And it comes from the Hebrew scripture, it comes from prophecies. Because Mary was wise even as a girl. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Fear not fear, like honor. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." That beautiful song, those aren't just words. That is the song of her heart. That is a song of gratitude. Both these women represent for us the realm of possibilities, infinite possibilities. these women represent to us, being able to say, oh my, there is a miracle in my midst. We have to look a little harder for them, I think, these days, because we're busy and we're bombarded with everything. But it's important. It's important that we look for things and people and messages and stirrings within us. Because this story, it doesn't have to be taken literally, but you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater either. You understand? I think I put this in my newsletter article this week. My favorite teacher, he was my Bible teacher when I was in seminary, said, we're not really sure, but something happened. Something happened. So don't let yourself get too busy trying to look at this scripture literally and saying, but don't let yourself discard it either. For metaphysically, historically, spiritually, contemporaneously, we are those characters. This story is as alive today as it was when it was written. It's as relevant today as it was when it was written. So let your heart be open to the wonder of the season. Just for a little bit. Imagine how you would feel if an unexplainable miracle came into your life. I think you kind of know what that's like already. But the more open we are to it, the more we see them. And we can say, my soul magnifies God. Otherwise, why are we here? We're here as expressions of the divine. Take a deep breath. Can you just hold the figure of Mary and her relative Elizabeth with tenderness and joy and gratitude today for the story that they bring us, for the goodness that they exemplify, for the way they live in us, in the realm of pure thought, pure truth, coming into manifestation. Let's take a moment. What if you don't even know what God has in mind for you next? Where your soul is leading you on your journey. But what if you could say, let it be done unto me. Let it be done unto me. Work of Spirit. What if today you allowed that divine power of yours called faith to expand a little bit more? To step into the unknown. and to be a knowing, yet wise. Not having to figure it all out, but entrusting yourself completely to the God of your understanding, the spirit of your being. If we're going to celebrate this story, this impossible, beautiful story throughout this month, let's begin with faith. Surely we have been given a magnificent example. And sometimes on our road, all we can see is the light that illuminates our next step, and then the one after that, and the one after that. Sometimes we don't get the light far down the path to see where we're going. And that's when our faith is most important. So lean into that next step. Knowing that all good things are done unto you. For you are of the divine, created and sustained every day. Just take a moment to be grateful in your heart for that. That simple knowing. And breathe. Let the energy of this truth now permeate every cell of your body. From the way your feet are touching the floor, through the crown of your head, every cell energized, illuminated by the truth and the faith of your being. All is well. All is well. So it is.